Aren't you glad God led you all the way? He can't ever lead us the wrong way either. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 17 this morning. Again, that was our text verse this morning. Proverbs 17:17. When you find that passage of scripture, let's stand this morning and read that out loud together. Proverbs 17 and verse number 17. If you're there, say amen. Let's read it together. Ready? A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Let's read it one more time. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Heavenly Father, I thank you for being the greatest friend we've ever had and ever will have. I thank you for friendship with others. And I ask, Lord, you please just guide and direct this morning our hearts towards you. Help us as we get into your word, Lord, to just have a better understanding, appreciation of friendship and our role in it. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Friend, the definition of friend, is one who is attached to another by affection, one who entertains for another sentiments of esteem, respect, and affection, which lead him to desire his company and to seek to promote his happiness and prosperity. Friendship is an important gift that we can give to others and that we long to receive ourselves. Listen to a few sayings about friendships. True friends are never apart, maybe in distance, but never in heart. Friendship is not finding gold or silver among the rocks of life. It is accepting each other as coal until the diamonds are formed with time. Listen to this one. I love the friends you don't see for days, weeks, or months, and the bond is still as strong as ever. Don't you like that? And again, we read a moment ago, the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A lovely thing about a friend is that they love you when you are unlovable. They stick by you through your weak times, not just your strong times. They encourage you when you fall and fail, not only when you are successful and doing well. They don't just love you when you can be a help to them in some way, but also when you have lost the ability to help them in any way. They are content with your presence. When the going gets tough, a real friend gets closer to you. They don't abandon you. A friend will not kick you when you are down, nor will they broadcast your mistakes to others to humiliate you. 1 Peter 4, if you'll turn there, in the back of the scriptures, right for Revelation, 1 and 2 Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 8 through 11, the Bible says, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Bible tells Christians to have fervent charity for other Christians. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Charity, the definition in a general sense, is love, benevolence, goodwill, that disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow men and to do them good. You're supposed to have fervent charity one toward another. And they say not that we're supposed to cover for the sins of others. Not that we're supposed to hide people's sins from the justice system, but that their flaws, their shortcomings, the times they've fallen, their broken life, their sins will not limit our love for them. It is loving the sinner in spite of their sin, like God loves us in spite of our sin. We're supposed to use the gifts that God gave us to be a help to others, especially those who believe in him. And verse 11 says, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. So when we use what God has given us to help and love on others, who does it glorify? Glorifies the Lord. You want to glorify the Lord? Love other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Use the gifts God has given you to be a blessing to them. Having charity for someone, showing charity to someone, does not mean that you don't point out things in their life that you see as hindering their spiritual growth. Or if you see something that is going to cause them or someone else harm, if they don't address it, a real friend will also tell you what you need to hear for you to be a better you. The Bible tells us this in Proverbs as well. Proverbs 27:6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Aren't you glad for the friend that tells you when you thought you got everything checked out in the mirror, but something is wrong on your face, and something maybe is left on your face. Maybe you got egg on your face. Right? I mean, aren't you glad for those friends? I mean, I guess you can have some real friends who, like, don't seeds are those? What? A little poppy seed from your salad that you had for lunch, and you've been next to your, it's like, how could nobody not see that and not tell me? You're like, oh, I wish someone told me that. And you need to fix that. That is going to be a help to you. A friend helps you by pointing out, wound you for your benefit so that you can grow. They don't wound you to try to destroy you. Fix the reason for the wounding. A faithful friend, one that will be there through thick and thin, will tell you where you are wrong so that you can do what is right and be better for it. A friend loveth at all times. Just think about some friends you had maybe in school. Do you have any close friends when you were in school? Swing set buddies, good friends maybe on a sports team, maybe a good friend at work. Just think about the friends God has brought to you and to your life throughout the many years. We all long to have that in our own lives. We all wish to have that friend who will love us in spite of our flaws. We long to have the friend who will be faithful and stand with us through thick and thin. We all want to. Principles of sowing and reaping is spread throughout the scriptures. You reap what you sow. The same principle, I believe, is applied to friendship as well. In Proverbs 18:24, it says, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. A friend that hath friends must show himself friendly. Matthew 7:12 says, therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know, you could apply this to the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So many of us want people to be friendly to us, don't we? Don't you like when people are friendly? Amen. I mean, how many of you prefer people to be mean to you all the time? If you do, everyone's going to be friendly to you after the service. No? We like when people are friendly to us, don't we? If you want people to be friendly to you, don't you think others want people to be friendly to them as well? And the best way to find friends, I believe the Bible is telling us, is to be one. The best way to find friends is to be a friend. The best way to have friends who will stick by you is to be a friend that sticks by others. Friendship happens by being friendly, by being a friend. You know, and that takes communication. That takes time. One thing I'm encouraged by is when a service is over, seeing people stop after the service and talk to each other and shake each other's hand and ask about how you're doing and develop that friendship when the service is over. And if you just kind of hit the door to be the first in line at the restaurant, you're not going to be able to build very many friendly relationships here. So it's good to hang around or get here early and greet one another. Friendship happens by being friendly, by being a friend. But I love that there is one friend that we have who loved us while we were in our worst state. Just think back on your life with a minute. Let's travel back in time if we could. Perhaps it was while you were in school. Maybe it was at the workplace when you were older, but there always seems to be at least one person whom it is very difficult to get along with. All right? You have that person in your mind. You're thinking back to your school days. Some of you kids are like, yeah, I'm in them now. I can tell you who it is. No. Think to your school days. Think of that one person who was hard to get along. Maybe a person who's mean to you or picked on you or a bully. Maybe it was at the workplace. Perhaps they were antagonistic and mean. There always seems to be somebody who's selfish and always and only looking out for themselves and kind of sticking it to you. Or the one who cuts in line and fought you if you said anything. How about the person at work who took credit for the idea that you had? Or who took credit for the work that you did? That person. The one who made fun of you on the playground or in front of the boss. Do y'all have someone? Some of you, you're frowning right now, so I know that you have the picture of the face of that person. The person who's always trying to get away with something and had a chip on their shoulder. That person who thought they were better than everyone else but annoyed everyone else. Do you have that name in your mind? Don't say it out loud. Do you have that name in your mind? Now stop and think. You just found out that person has cancer, and the only way for them to live is you are the only person in the world with the only match to help them by giving them part of your healthy body for them to be alive. The catch is the surgery means certain death for you and life for them. You're the only one who can save them, but by saving them, you die. That person, you know, in the play, that person you've been thinking about, that person. How many of you think you'd be volunteering for that surgery? It'd be very difficult to do that, wouldn't it? Now, we might volunteer if it meant we would save our best friend. Let me ask you this. Who would be more you think, probably easier to volunteer to do that for your best friend versus your enemy? Probably easier, wouldn't it? Amazingly, there is one person who did volunteer to do just that. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5 in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter 5. We're going to start in verse number 7. Bible says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." In other words, it's there's not people lining up to even save a righteous man. "Yet, peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die." But notice verse 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." God commendeth, commend. Commend means to represent as worthy of notice. God says, "I want you to take notice of the love that I had." He says, commend means to regard or kindness, to speak in favor of, to recommend. And God says, "Let me recommend my love that I had toward us." He says, "Let me speak in favor of my love that I had towards you." He says, "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I mean, us in our most annoying, selfish, mean, hateful state. God died for us. When a soldier does an act that deserves notice, they will give him a medal of commendation. They will commend him. They'll take notice of the act. They'll speak favorably of what he did. And let me just say, God takes notice of the act that he did. He commendeth his love that he gave and showed toward us while we were in our worst state, while we were in a position of unloveliness, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest charity ever shown or offered to mankind. John 3 says in verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We have been offered the greatest friendship known to man. Friendship with God himself. We sing the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what needs we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." As a friend, we like to carry our friends' burdens, but sometimes it can be overwhelming if whenever someone comes to us, all they ever do is present burdens to us. It can kind of grate on us, maybe even get a little old, maybe even be a little depressing if every single time we see somebody, all they ever bring to us is a burden or a care. Yet God never gets tired of us doing just that. Amen. It's nice when we come to somebody and we share not just the lows, but also the highs. And it's great to have a friend that will rejoice with you when we rejoice and mourn with you when you mourn. And may I say, when you go to the Lord in prayer, don't just always go with your cares and your burdens and lay them apart upon him. He's willing to accept that. He's happy to hear that. But he would also, the Bible says, like to hear some thanksgiving for some good, the good things that he's done. Amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Don't you like it when people commend your name? Now honoring, at this time, we would like to honor Brother Nathan Himmelreich. Just kind of gives you a little bit of joy hearing your name and commended, right? We want to thank Mr. Anthony Davis. It's great to hear that. God likes to hear it too. Just at this time, we want to take some time to praise God and thank him in his holy name. And so when you come to the greatest friend you've ever had, don't just bring your burdens, but bring your thanks and your praise too. But I'm glad that God is a friend that doesn't get annoyed with us. Sometimes we can be annoying to our friends, can't we? Sometimes our friends can be annoying to us. But God never gets annoyed with us. Never does. He's the greatest friendship offered and known to man. Friendship with the Lord God himself. We have been offered the greatest love ever presented to mankind. And once you accept God's sacrifice for you, the cancer of sin within you is forgiven and you are healed spiritually. Have you ever offered your friendship to someone only to have them reject you and make fun of you instead? That's really painful, isn't it? That really hurts. You know, God offered himself for the entire world. I remember in ninth grade, I was feeling rejection at the school I was attending, and just kind of feeling rejected as a whole. And I remember having a pity party in my bedroom and sitting with my back to the door and weeping about it. And the Lord kind of slapped me up the brain with this thought, now you know how I feel. And I thought, Lord, you're God in heaven. You're sitting on your throne. You have everything. You made everything. What do you mean? Now I know how you feel. And then he brought the thought to me that he tries to be accepted and welcomed by everyone in the entire world, billions of people. But how many of those billions have rejected him? The Lord understands your rejection you're going through. He is the most rejected person and being in all of history. Also the most accepted in all of history. But God knows where you're at. What a friend we have in Jesus. God offered himself for us. He gave his life for you. Just think of the time you offered your friendship. You tried to be a friend to somebody, but they rejected your friendship. They didn't want to be nice to you, and then they just made fun of you. And how sad that made you feel. God offers you his friendship. Will you accept the greatest relationship ever offered to you, or will you reject him? He hath said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Once you accept the Lord, he's always going to be with you. Yep. Ever had a friend who you thought was your BFFFF? Best friend forever, forever, forever? And then come to find out they weren't as closely friends as you thought. Maybe they even became an enemy, and how that made you feel. That's not something you ever have to worry about with the Lord. He will be your best friend forever. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Ever. He's here right now. He'll be with you when you go get in your vehicle to go home or to get some lunch. He'll be with you as you sit down to eat. He'll be with you as you fall asleep in your comfy chair after you eat. He'll be with you when you wake up. He'll be with you when you get ready to come back for music practice or evening service. He'll be with you in the car as you go, depending who you are. He'll be with you even as fast as you go. He'll be with you when you get here. He'll be with you when you sit down in the pew. He'll be with you when you go home. He'll be with you when you lay down to sleep. He'll be with you when you get up in the morning. He'll be with you when you're brushing your teeth. He'll be with you when you get back in the vehicle to go to school or to work. He never leaves you nor forsakes you.
That's right,
amen. Never. Even when you become unlovable in other people's eyes again. Even when you make mistakes, fall or fail. Even when you forget to comb your hair in the morning. Glad I don't have that problem. It's one blessing, isn't it, Brother Bruce? It's one blessing. He's with you. He loved you with hair. He loves you just as much without hair.
That's right.
He loved you when you were young. He'll love you when you're old. He loved you when you were good at sports, and he loved you when you had a hard time getting out of your chair. I heard someone testify back there. God loves you all the time. He offers you that relationship and that friendship. And let me just say, the first step of that is realizing you're a sinner. That cancer of sin that's going to cost you eternal life. God said, I'm the only one who can save you, and I'll give my life for you. He did that. You just have to simply believe it and pray to him and accept it. Have you done that? Have you called out to God and say, Lord, I know I've done wrong. I know I've made mistakes. I know I'm a sinner. But I know how much you love me. And I know you died in my place to pay for my sin. And I accept you dying in my place. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, do that this morning. Find peace with God. Accept the friendship that he offers to you. Amen. In a moment, in a few minutes, we're going to have an invitation, and if you have not accepted Christ as your Savior, I invite you to do that this morning. Also, I would say, friendship takes work. Because having that fervent charity is something you have to constantly renew, because even good friends can be annoying sometimes. Even good friends can let you down sometimes. Even good friends can hurt you. But if you're going to be a real friend to them, then you need to forgive and recommit to showing them charity and love and do your part for that friendship. And many times, guess what happens to that friendship? It heals. Don't give up on a friendship. Don't ever completely give up on anyone. Amen?